Hour number two. That's what it's time for. Welcome in. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. Got a lot to do, a lot to talk about. Dumbest Thing in Sports is coming your way here momentarily. So load them up. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. Mike Vrabel is live at the podium. We will not carry the press conference. We will have some cut-ups of that for you later on in the show. Will Compton will be here at 1220 as well, so we'll talk about that. But in the meantime, we're going to do the dumbest thing in sports. Before we do the dumbest thing in sports, though, I want to note something, because I'm seeing tweets come out of St. Thomas Sports Park right now. So Teresa Walker, noted queen, she just had a birthday. I don't know what birthday it was. I would not dare to ask. That would be disrespectful. But Teresa Walker had a birthday recently. Mike Vrabel came out of his press conference on Monday, gave her a birthday cookie. Went into the facility, got a cookie from the facility, brought it out to her, gave her a cookie for her birthday. Very sweet. Kiss ass. But today, it's Wednesday. Gentry Estes, the columnist for the Tennessean, his birthday was on Monday. Mike Vrabel brought him a birthday cookie also. What is happening? What is going on?
They also welcomed Terry McCormick back, which is great
to
see. Deal.
Yeah, Terry, who's been dealing with the COVID situation and was hospitalized for a while. We're very happy to have Terry back amongst us as a Titans media corps, and to see, you know, basically, you know, him having made. I don't know if it's a full recovery, because, you know, when I had COVID not this past August, but the August before it. And it took me about 2 weeks to get right after that, just from a lung strength capacity. And I'm 28. Terry's not to age our dear friends, but Terry is much older than I am. And I know that he had a hard time with it. So good to see Terry back and amongst the Titans media at St. Thomas Sports Park. But I'm shocked to see the delivering of birthday cookies by the head coach, because they must have won last week. Otherwise there would be no cookies for anybody. No soup for you. Anyway, we'll do the dumbest thing in sports this week here in just a second. If you want to jump in early, you can. 615-737-1045. Lucas, hit it.
Let's be honest. You've already seen something this week that made you say,
"What the f*** is this?
That's bullshit.
What the hell? Give me some warning."
Something so mind-numbingly idiotic that you just want to get it off your chest.
Dumber than a second coat of paint.
Some idiot.
You are really dumb. For real.
It's the dumbest thing in sports this week on the Buck Rising Show.
615-737-1045. That's how you tell us what the dumbest thing in sports this week was. We'll get to your phone calls momentarily, but we're going to have to, you know, this is our show, so we got to lead off the proceedings. I will be gracious. I will let Lucas go first. Lucas, what's the dumbest thing in sports this week?
Well, we've been talking about how the Alabama win at Florida shapes our expectations for the season. Was that the get-right game for this Alabama defense? Will there be another one of those with a struggle against Ole Miss? Besides all of that, how in the world, in a major primetime SEC battle that could determine who ends up in Atlanta in the fourth quarter of a one-possession game, do we have to keep the clock on the field? What? This happens in high school football, and I get that. Scoreboards malfunction. It's not perfect. But how does this happen where in a critical moment of the game, we have no idea how much time's left? It just says fourth quarter on the scorebug.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just that, right? It's like the entire NFL weekend. And I know that Lucas is talking about college and I'm talking about pro, but it felt like the entire officiating situation from the NFL weekend was designed to just absolutely nuke all of the results on the field. Like, from clock issues to bad calls on the field to missed calls where there's photographic evidence, literally a shot. Donald Page, the Titans photographer, with literally a shot by shot of the Julio Jones touchdown that wasn't a touchdown according to the officials. It wasn't just that. It was the officiating in the Chargers game with Justin Herbert and some ridiculous missed calls. It was the Titans and the Seahawks. It was David Culley, who we'll talk about later on with the Texans, who declined a penalty. And I know somebody on the YouTube chat pointed this out. I want to make sure I find it. Brandon Rushing on YouTube, who says, David Culley declining the penalty on fourth and short against the Browns to punt and then doubling down at his presser after the fact. And you look at Kevin Stefanski on the Browns sideline, he's just looking around like, what? Did they just do that? Yes, they just did. Dumb. 615-737-1045. Now's your time to get in and nominate the dumbest thing in sports this week, where the lines are loading up quickly. So if you want to get involved, now is your opportunity. For me, though, let's travel back to Jacksonville, shall we? Not to the mascot who appears to be trying to off himself in the background of a Trevor Lawrence Teddy Bridgewater photo. Not to Urban Meyer, disheveled and disgraced, 0-2, and being asked if he got out-coached on Sunday for the first time in his long and storied coaching career. No, not that. Let us instead go to the Twitter timeline of the Jacksonville Jags. Not for the mascot who appears to be taking his own life by jumping from a building. It still makes me laugh.
2 weeks in, man.
2 weeks in. Things are going well in North Florida. But the Jags Twitter timeline, trying to troll the Falcons for plagiarizing their both very, very depressing tweets about their 0-2 start. All right, so let me set this scene, shall I? There's 2 weeks done of this season. Atlanta, Jacksonville, they are among the seven teams who have not won a game. There are seven teams, 0-2, Jags and Falcons, two of those teams. So after the Jags lose to Denver, it just says a message for Duvall on their Twitter account, all right? And the message says, hang in there with us. We're going to get better, in bold print. It says, the one thing about Jacksonville and the 904, go to sleep knowing there's not going to be any group working harder to get this thing flipped. And it's a quote from Urban Meyer. Okay, so there's that. Hang in there with us. We're going to get better. So then the Falcons do something similar. I know Arthur Smith's not on Twitter, but I wonder how Arthur Smith feels about the way that his team is very corporately handling their 0-2 start. So the Falcons put out a tweet after losing on Sunday. We're not where we want to be now, but there's plenty of football to be played. And this is the quote from Arthur Smith. You don't want to be in the spot where we are, but that's a reality. But we have 15 more to go. We have to put ourselves in a spot to go win a football game. And then it attributes the quote to Arthur Smith. The Jags quote tweet this and say, in quotes, hey, can I copy your homework? Acting as if they're the Falcons. And the Jags say, yeah, fam, just switch it up a bit. So they're fighting about who had the original thought to get out there and try and comfort their fan base after a miserable, dismal 0-2 start to the season.
You're so stupid.
This is the dumbest thing in sports this week. I challenge our callers today to nominate something stupider than that.
Because you don't suck. We suck.
And we, you know, you may suck, but we sucked first. And we told our fan base that we sucked first. What are you doing copying us? I know you are, but what am I? Wait, who's the famous bowler?
Yeah, I can't remember. What's Paul Ray?
No, it's Pete's. No, Paul Rabel's
the lacrosse guy.
That's the lacrosse the lacrosse player that just retired. No, it's Pete something. Who do you think you are? I am. It's what the Jags are yelling at the Falcons on Twitter. So
Pete
stupid.
Weber, Pete Weber.
Pete Weber, that's right. And not the guy who does the Preds play-by-play. Okay, no. We will come back. We will get to your calls. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? John, RJ, and Adam will lead us off. If you guys want to get involved, you're welcome to. 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. So, it's interesting. Both Lucas and I got distracted during the commercial break because they got Tennessee, Florida running all over SportsCenter right now. And Lucas was confused as to why that would be the case, given that I checked the line on DraftKings last night. Florida's favored by 20. So Lucas was confused. Why is Tennessee, Florida on the television? He's delighted and he's yelling things at the TV. Show the 2016 game, you cowards. While they're talking about the Vols and the Gators this week. It seems that Florida hasn't lost in Gainesville, or the Gators haven't lost in Gainesville versus Tennessee since 2003. It's a stat that they're showing on SportsCenter right now. But it is funny because they're promoting that game, even though Tennessee's a 20-point dog because it's on ESPN this weekend.
Tune in for this rivalry classic.
Yeah, so they'll make you feel good about it, and then you check what everybody else is thinking about it, and you are made to feel infinitely more sad. Anyway, speaking of sadness, let's laugh at some sadness. Let's continue with the dumbest thing in sports this week. 615-737-1045 is the number. Let's go to the phones. John is in the borough. He's been waiting patiently to weigh in. What's up, John?
What's up, guys?
John? Are you okay? Hello?
He's speechless.
What happened? Put him on hold. See if he's still there. John, call us back. What's up, guys? And then he just goes silent.
What's up, guys?
Oh, God. 615-737-1045. Let's try RJ in Phoenix, who you know is going to bring it. What's up, RJ?
Good morning, gentlemen. What's going on?
Not much. We're just waiting for you to tell us what the dumbest thing in sports this week is.
Okay, so my dumbest thing in sports goes out to a troll. He called my radio station. He disrespected my quarterback. And when my team played his team, he ran off and hid. He didn't call the show. That's not what's dumb. He didn't call the show. He didn't show his face, no tweets, no nothing. But the dumbest thing he did, he said he changed his ticket, flew to Cali to do things that weren't legal there. But he left a state where everything was legal. He's dumb, dumb, dumb. His name is Scarrington. This is the last time that I will ever speak his name or even acknowledge his existence. He is a clown and a coward. He is the dumbest thing in sports, Scarrington.
Thank you for the call, RJ. I tweeted out the clip of RJ's call yesterday because it was so good. I mean, RJ killed him. And more violence is welcome on between the callers, 615-737-1045. Yeah, people very quickly started to poke holes in Darrington's story that he was not available to call into the radio show between 10 and 1 a, 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. because he had flown to Los Angeles to, you know, go handle some things that I guess are illegal in other states that are illegal in the state of California, but that made no sense.
Doesn't add up. We've got some investigative listeners.
I appreciate that. The trolls aren't just on the phone lines. The trolls are out to find out what the other trolls are doing so that they can troll them even better than the initial troll. It's the circle of life.
Trollception.
All right, John is back. Let's see if John can bring it strong. What's up, buddy?
There we go. Sorry about that. I was hearing an interview in the background. It was weird. All right, so my dumbest thing in sports this week is the absolute meltdown that Moo State fans down in Starkville had over the Memphis-Mississippi State game this week. And I understand that bad calls happen. Memphis has been on the bad side of those calls for decades, as long as I've been alive. And the fact that their player didn't have the intelligence to pick up the ball and hand it to the ref, thus leaving it a live ball, our player turned down offers from Harvard. So obviously he's smarter than the Mississippi State guy. Picks up the ball and runs it all the way for the touchdown. The meltdown that the fans had about it, saying it shouldn't have counted. Well, the ball's still live, so the rule stands. And then they pivot. This is where it gets dumb. They pivot from that. Instead of being outraged about that, they find out that no longer works. So Moo State fans go, oh, well, wait a minute. They had two number fours on the field. It shouldn't have counted. And then they fold their arms like a freaking child. No, that's the dumbest thing in the dumbest thing in sports this week. Just, you lost, get over it, move on. We play in Starkville next year. Be better.
Well, hang on, John. That was, I mean, I'm with you that maybe
John,
that,
SEC officiating put out a tweet about it, and they were like, statement. Yeah, our bad.
It was unbelievably botched. Like, I understand the Mississippi State player. If he had just picked up the ball and handed it to the ref, none of this would have been a problem. But the dude blew the play dead. He signaled to stop the clock, and everybody's, the SEC
Calvin
put out
Austin
a statement.
Austin picked the ball up before the ref waved his hand. All he did was throw down his marker, which throwing down the marker just means that's where the ball is.
He blew the play that he waved. The SEC put out a statement, John.
No. I'll tweet you guys the photo. Calvin Austin picked the ball up and ran it before the ref waved his arms, which is why he put his arms back down. Yep. And the whistle didn't blow.
I appreciate the call, John. 615-737-1045.
It was so botched.
What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? I'm literally looking at the SEC officiating tweet. At 5:58 in the fourth quarter of the Mississippi State at Memphis game, Mississippi State punts the ball downfield where the loose ball touches multiple kicking team players before a receiving team player picks up the ball and returns it for a touchdown. The kicked ball remained live by rule since it was not possessed by a player, nor did it come to rest inbounds with no player attempting to secure it. On the play, the back judge gave a single stop-the-clock signal immediately. After the receiving team possessed the ball, the inadvertent signal aspect of the play is reviewable, and replay should have stopped the game to review for a potential inadvertent signal. The subsequent review would have placed the ball at the spot where the signal was made.
Come on, John.
6-1-5.
And the 2-4s on the field.
It was so bad.
That's a special teams botch job by Memphis to have two players with the same number. That also should have been called.
You know, he's not lying, though. He's already tweeted us the picture. I appreciate his passion, but I do believe his passion is misplaced in this particular regard. 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? Let's try Adam in Nashville who wants to weigh in. What's up, Adam?
Good morning, fellas. I just have to say before I get to it, as a University of Michigan fan and a Titans fan, oh, is it nice to see Urban Meyer floundering in Jacksonville. But by far, I think the dumbest thing in sports has to be, I'm going to pile on the SEC officiating crews, but God almighty, that Penn State game and making them punt on third down is the stupidest thing in sports this last week.
I couldn't believe what I was watching, and thank you for the call, Adam. 615-737-1045 is how you tell us what the dumbest thing in sports this week was. The Penn State, it's just watching that all happen in real time, where they don't necessarily know what's going on. The refs don't stop them from punting on third down. The Auburn players are just looking around like, are they about to punt on third down? What's happening here? What are we
don't
doing?
Say anything. Don't say anything.
Shut up. Quick. It's like, so we had a moment like this. We had a moment like this in Tampa. Okay. Because, and this is inside baseball. I don't know how much people care about this, but it's relevant to that moment. Because in Tampa, as far as media access is concerned on game days, right? Used to be that media before the game, 2 hours before the game, up until kickoff, you can wander around down on the field instead of being in the lower bowl, right? In Tampa, a lot of us were able to get out on the field before they put up, like, the barriers, basically, to stop media from getting out on the field. And Luke Worsham, my buddy from A to Z Sports, he's late. He's later than the rest of us. So Luke is trying to get out on the field while the rest of us are down there taking photos and videos of Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, all this stuff. And Luke is, like arguing with the security guard in the tunnel at Tampa, pointing at us who are on the field and saying, no, they're out there. I should be out there too. And meanwhile, like me and Teron are like, you know, given the, you know, cut it out.
Stay cool,
it,
man. Stay cool.
Stay cool. Stop pointing at us. Be cool. Just because you can't get out here doesn't mean you should take us down with you. That's exactly what it felt like when I was watching the Auburn players do when one of them noticed, hey, they're punting. Do they know it's third down and not fourth down? And then the rest of them are just like, shut up. Be cool. Be cool. It was really, really dumb. 615-737-1045 is the number. What is the dumbest thing in sports this week? We go to the Twitter timeline because Lucas says he's got some good ones.
Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, I think, was the first reply, Buck, and he said the dumbest thing in sports is your tweets with the gif of boom, roasted from The Office.
Okay, but look at what I
sent
him back.
Yes, and then you responded a tweet of his where it's a picture of offensive lineman Trent Brown of the Patriots saying, quote, we go as he goes, - Trent Brown on rookie quarterback Trent Brown.
Giardi just texted me, by the way. I guess he's listening to the Tannehill press conference. So if Giardi's listening to the radio show, yeah, got you. Boom. Roasted.
Well, majority here are officiating, which it was the worst
awful
weekend, pro and college, in recent history, across the board. It was really, really, really bad.
I was supremely disappointed with the result of the officiating this weekend, and more so because of the way that it impacts the game. Like, the refs... The refs made the games this weekend about the refs, when really it should be about Kyler Murray and how fantastic he was, or Derrick Henry caving in the skull of a Seattle secondary, or Justin Herbert making 5 throws that I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback make in the history of pro football. He's really good, by the way. I don't know if that's breaking news to anybody, but Justin Herbert, really good.
Good at football.
Wow.
What was worse, do you think? The Penn State third down or the Memphis-Mississippi State botched punt call? What was more egregious?
I mean, I would say the Memphis Mississippi State missed call, because that resulted in points.
Yeah,
like it directly resulted in a touchdown.
And it made it 28-17 late in the fourth quarter.
It was the moment that kind of allowed them to pull away from Mississippi State, and it had the result of the missed call was legitimately a touchdown.
Because they would have been pinned deep in their territory.
So I would say that is the most egregious of those two calls. But there, I mean, I don't think I saw a worse call, like a worse flat-out call than the Chris Carson first down that was well short.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked about this on Monday, but like I said, the tweets that I saw with Chris Carson outstretched on the TV line to gain, right next to the Kevin Dyson outstretched arm in the 1999 Super Bowl, saying, "Wish the Titans would have had this officiating crew in the Super Bowl against the Rams." Because it's the exact same distance.
It is.
It's the exact same
And the official was right there.
He's standing looking at it. I could not believe how badly the call was botched.
Bergie Berg said that somebody offered me this trade and basically gave me Derrick Henry after a bad week one in my Dynasty League. And it shows the picture of the trade where he was offered Derrick Henry and Dwayne Haskins Jr. for Jameis Winston and Damian Harris.
Woo!
And I just overlook all of this and say, why is Dwayne Haskins Jr. on any fantasy roster in any league anywhere?
Because he's playing this week, probably, against the Bengals.
I feel like there's more quarterbacks on the waiver wire there. I mean, is he the backup?
Is he the backup.
The two?
Yeah.
Over Mason Rudolph?
Yeah. Mason Rudolph stinks.
Well, I know Big Ben's going to try to go this week.
With a torn pec?
Yeah.
But I don't want to watch that.
Either way, man, don't put Dwayne Haskins in a trade as if that adds any value. My God, that's the cherry on top.
You know, maybe Derrick Henry isn't enough for you, so let me sprinkle a little Dwayne Haskins.
He might play in one game this week year, and he's probably going to be terrible
Spicy.
In it.
Spicy. 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? There are so many to choose from. I really, has there been anything to top my Jags one, though? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think that one reigns supreme.
I do think some of the officiating ones have a serious argument.
I would say yes. I would say, but not for comedic purposes. Mine was the funniest. That's what I'm going for.
We suck more.
Spencer on YouTube, who grades the show at the end of the day, says, dumbest thing in sports, SEC schools going to Memphis. Why is that dumb? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
Okay, very good. that led to an exceptional conversation. Lonzo saying, Lonzo, whose icon is a Mississippi State logo, The caller is the dumbest in sports. Why does he keep saying Moo State? Because you use cowbells. That's why, Lonzo. You can't have something called a cowbell and then not have a joke made at your expense about cows. Also worth noting, by the way, as the phone lines continue to pile up, and if you want to get in, you can. I'm noticing from Mike Vrabel's press conference that Taylor Lewan is expected to be on the practice field today, which is extremely good news for the Tennessee Titans, given that it's not something more severe that would cost him more time. So keep that in mind as we move forward into this week with the Colts. 615-737-1045. Brandon is in Westmoreland, and he wants to weigh in on the dumbest thing in sports this week. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. How are you? Can you hear me?
I sure can, buddy.
Hey, so what I'll say, one of the most dumbest things in sports this past weekend, and I'll sum it up very clearly for you, any of y'all fools out there betting against the Titans, and that's it.
Well, wait. Are you talking about, like, financially bet against the Titans or just thought they were going to lose against Seattle?
Betting against them, against a big L, trying to give them a big L.
Well, Brandon, I mean, is Brandon still there?
I think he just means both.
No, what I want to ask him is, like, did he watch the first half?
I did.
And
it was kind of scary, but, you know, if you're a true Titan or a true Tennessean, you don't bet against them. No matter if you know they're going to lose, you don't bet against them.
You know, and I respect that, okay? I do. But it's also okay to be like, yeah, they looked really terrible in week one. And in the first half of week two, it wasn't great. And I wrote about this for A to Z Sports.com and the kind of pace that Derrick Henry is on. Right now, in a 17-game regular season, Derrick Henry is on pace for 2,040 rushing yards, which would of course, and Jared Stillman was the first one to tweet that out. But I wrote an article off that, just kind of looking at basically all things are possible through Derrick Henry. And I'm not, to Brandon's point, you know, I think that you can be realistic and doubt them, because there were reasons to doubt them. I understand, you know, blind loyalty to your team. I get that. Who was our guy from the Founders Club yesterday that called me and was making fun of my laugh or whatever?
I don't remember the name. Bill, maybe?
No. It was a name that I got gender-wise confused. Stacy.
Oh, Stacy, yeah.
Stacy, yes. So Stacy had called and said, you know, it's enough with the negativity about a win. Can't you just talk about the things that went well? And again, I get that kind of blind loyalty to your football team. And I had somebody with the Titans text me yesterday, as a matter of fact, and saying, yeah, well, after a loss, you don't talk about the things that are good in the loss, which is fair, because that's not how sports talk radio works. But also, I think we did. I said Christian Fulton was good, and everything else sucked.
I never get that logic, even from the most diehard fans, because you know what the team is talking about after a win? They're talking about the things that were bad. They're talking about the things they needed to fix, like a busted coverage late in the second half that almost lost them the game.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. Like, I don't doubt the Tennessee Titans are a above-average football team. But against the Seahawks, in that situation, I thought that they were capable of looking better than they did in week one and still getting their asses kicked. And through the first half, that premonition felt right. And it was a tremendous, it was an upset for a reason, though. Like, you can be blindly loyal to your team and also be realistic about the results on the field and see what's happening on the field and understand where the flaws are and what's going wrong, and then appreciate them for the way that they turn things around in the second half. Derrick Henry is a wonder to behold. I've spent so many times since looking like an asshat, basically, 2 years ago, saying that I fear paying any running back a second contract, even if Derrick Henry appears to be the exception to the rule. Turns out, big wrong, loud wrong by me. And since then, just trying to sit back and appreciate Derrick Henry for what he is in real time, which is a potential Hall of Famer. Like, I really do believe that with every fiber of my being, if he keeps on this track, I keep waiting for football to happen to Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? Where I'm watching De'Eriq King, who's the quarterback of Miami, who's dealt with injuries. He's 24 years old, and he looks less than because football happened to De'Eriq King.
Injury news on him this week, too. I think he's out for this weekend.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he looks like a lesser version of himself. Big running backs like Brandon Jacobs or Steven Jackson, where they were physically overwhelming for a period of time, and then football happened to them and sapped some of that athleticism, some of those things that made them great. I keep waiting for that to happen to Derrick Henry because it's only the most logical thing in the world. And he defies logic because it doesn't. He's still bigger. He's still faster than everybody else on the field that's filled with big, fast, violent human beings. Derrick Henry supersedes so many of them. So to that point, you can look at this and say, yeah, it was completely reasonable to doubt the Tennessee Titans heading into week two. And then they reminded you why you should not doubt at least individuals on that team, if not the collective as a whole. 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? Shane Miles is responding to the news that we just had from Mike Vrabel's press conference about Luan practicing today. Shane Miles says, are we honestly excited to have Taylor Luan back? That should be a poll, Lucas. He puts in parentheses. We have had tremendous success without him. Is he really needed? The answer is yes. Yes. Taylor Lewan, listen, no disrespect to Ty Sambrello or David Questenberry on the left and the right side, respectively, for their performance on Sunday. Those two were great. They allowed one pressure between them, one pressure by Sambrello. They ran the ball incredibly effective. And listen, they were a big part of Derrick Henry rushing for 2,000 yards a year ago. They did that without Taylor Lewan. I'm not denying that. But what I'll say to you is that Taylor Lewan is exceptional when he is healthy and gives you a substantial advantage, because where you still struggle, Shane, and anybody who would be questioning Taylor Lewan today, where you still struggle is in pass protection. Greg Cosell and myself on, it's been a couple of weeks ago since we talked about Lewan and how the Titans changed from the start of the season to the end of the season in 2020, where at the start of the season, through 6 weeks at that point, they were very comfortable, very efficient on third down and 6 yards plus. When Taylor Lewan went out in week six, that number fell off a cliff because in obvious passing situations, Taylor Lewan is the superior pass-blocking left tackle of that group. So, yes, if Taylor Lewan's right, then he gives you a substantial advantage over the other two. The problem is right now he hasn't been right to this point, and so it's easy to doubt him. When we come back, we're going to talk about you're going to hear from Mike Vrabel, some stuff that he had to say about the podium. We'll give you an update on Carson Wentz because apparently he has come to Colts practice with an update on his health. We will also tell you what Ryan Tannehill had to say at the podium from St. Thomas Sports Park ahead of the Titans' first day on the practice field ahead of week three. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Buck Rising with you till 1 o'clock. Titans are on the practice field officially. Week of work has begun. You will hear from the head coach, who has just concluded his press conference not too long ago, about the Indianapolis Colts and about what they do well, why they present an interesting and a challenging matchup for the Tennessee Titans this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. By the way, you can hear all of the coverage on Sunday right here on 104.5 The Zone, your flagship home for Titans football. I will get you started with the Lee Company countdown to kickoff at 9 a.m., and we will have live and local coverage up until Titans countdown begins an hour before the game. In the meantime, we go to the phones because I'd spent some time talking about Taylor Lewan and how it's a big deal that he is back on the practice field after hurting himself in pregame warmups at Seattle and then immediately being ruled out for the game. And apparently some people took issue with that, so that's fine. We'll go to the phones. Speaking of Taylor's, let's go to Taylor, who's in Nashville, who wants to chime in on Lewan. What's up, Taylor? Hello, Taylor.
This is Trey.
Hello.
Hey, this is Trey.
Oh, Trey, I got you. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah. I hate seeing Buck spend 15 minutes on Taylor Lewan, really. Like, what has he done for the Titans lately?
Well, I mean, he hasn't done anything lately because he tore his ACL. What do you mean?
Okay. How many games have he played in? How many games have he played in to where we actually won compared to the subs being in there and we actually won?
Like a lot. What? Trey, what are you saying? Trey, the whole playoff run in 2019 was run left. Derrick Henry had one of the best postseasons of any running back because Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan were killing dudes on the left side. Do you not remember that?
No, I don't remember it.
Nope.
Trey, Titans were 5-0 until Lewan went down in week six with an ACL tear.
They were literally undefeated,
that?
And the quarterback wasn't getting hit.
I don't like Taylor Lewan. I don't like his attitude.
That doesn't mean he's not a good. Whoa! You can not like him, and he's still a good football. What kind of idiotic argument is that, Trey? Trey, Lucas just told me in my ear he's done. So what's the opposite of Rackham? Do we have one for bad call? That's the worst call I think we've ever gotten. I don't like him. So what? What is that?
Well, he had his argument about the Titans don't win with Taylor Lewan, and then we presented the Titans' record with Taylor Lewan over the last 10 games he's been with the Titans, and then he had nothing.
They literally started the season 5-0.
Like, yes, the offensive line played well without Taylor Lewan down the stretch last year. They were 5-0 with Taylor Lewan at the beginning of last year.
Ryan Tannehill was one of the least disrupted quarterbacks through five games last year because Taylor Lewan was so good. What are we talking about? This is, and listen, because now we're getting comments in the Zone TV chat from Brandon and Tomahawk about, you know, people who are drunk and high in the middle of the day. And I'm not accusing Trey of that. I'm just saying that is a ridiculous statement. You cannot like Taylor Lewan's personality. I don't care how you feel about the personality of the left tackle. It makes zero difference to me at all. All right. But it is one of the stupidest things that I've ever heard to say, what has he done for the Titans lately? Well, nothing. He tore his ACL. What do you mean? Well, how many more games have they won with the backups than they have with Lewan? Well, literally, they started the season undefeated last year. They were one of the best teams in the sport, and the quarterback wasn't getting touched. Well, I don't like him. All right, very good. Let's see if Paul and Franklin can do any better. What's up, Paul?
Good Lord, y'all got me on there?
We sure do, buddy. What's up?
Lord have mercy. I don't know about that last caller, but he needs to put the pipe down, I reckon. Lord have mercy. We need Taylor Lewan. He helps plow the road for us. Yes, he does. And it creates death. Do they not understand anything about death on the line? Good Lord have mercy. Please, the rest of them that talks about Taylor Lewan, just scream them and hang up. We need Taylor Lewan to go to the playoffs and potentially win the Super Bowl. Good grief. Y'all have a good day. Love y'all.
Rack 'em. Thank you, Paul and Franklin. Good Lord. I love that. All right, so let's hear, because listen, you could use Taylor Lewan against a pretty good Colts run defense. For the fact that they're 0-2 and the competition that, listen, Seahawks and the Rams, they're no joke. But Taylor Lewan, if he's right, is going to be an essential part of this run-blocking scheme moving forward, even as good as Ty Sambrelo looked on the left side this past Sunday. So Mike Vrabel was asked about the Colts' rushing defense, and this is what Vrabel had to say.
They play extremely hard. You know, that I respect, obviously, Matt and Frank, the culture that they've set there. They play extremely hard. They have length. They've got a good, you know, varying degrees of different play styles. They have some guys that are, you know, kind of ham away at you, you know, hammer away. And then they have some guys, you know, obviously Buckner is a, you know, wild card with his length, athleticism. The backers can run, and I think they're all very sound. Everybody's a good tackler, and that's really what it comes down to as far as stopping the run.
That's Mike Vrabel talking about that. Well, that's Mike Vrabel and the Titans lawn mowing crew. But that's Mike Vrabel talking about the Colts run defense. Listen, they lost some parts. Danico Autry is a big loss for them, but they were still stout up front. They helped keep the Colts, at least the result, close against the Seahawks and the Rams. I know Carson Wentz did have some good plays in the Rams game and ultimately ended up trying to do too much and hurting himself. But Lewan is such an important piece of this equation. We will come back. We will start off the third hour with your calls. Bubba and Dixon will lead us off on the other side, and then Will Compton will join us at 12:20. Speaking of Taylor Lewan, for our Bussin' with the Boys segment, I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.